Well, thank you, David. Thank you to the Finn and the Oz for the invitation to be here. It's pleasing to see so many influential people coming together for such an important discussion. I'm conscious as I talk to you of two things. The first is that I'm the latest in a long sequence of men in dark suits, but we are going to hear from three women very soon. Isn't that good? And the second thing I'm very conscious of is that I'm here really as an observer, because the things that you need to grapple with today are outside my remit. I do monetary policy devoted to price stability and financial stability. I would argue, and I think it's generally accepted, that those things are working pretty well. But a stable monetary standard and a stable financial system, while necessary conditions for prosperity, are not sufficient ones, and that's really why you're all here. Your topic is reform, and it's a term, as the Treasurer said, that will be used frequently over the next few hours. Well, what do we mean by that? What do we mean by reform? Often, amongst economists anyway, this is presented through the prism of allocative efficiency, and that's very important. So generally, economists think that optimal resource allocation is achieved by removing barriers to competition in markets, whether they're tariffs, subsidies, other protectionist devices, regulation, whatever. And we let demand and supply face the relative prices in the economy and adjust accordingly. And there are exceptions to that general principle, but I would hazard a guess, and I think it would be not widely contested, that the biggest gains to prosperity we've had in the past 25 years have come from more competition. That's aside from gains from the terms of trade, but we can't do anything to make them come. We can't do anything to keep them here when they want to leave, as they are now. Competition lowers prices and costs. It promotes the drive to do better. It spurs innovation. So it's very important. Minimising distortions that come from the tax system also has a role in allocating, in enhancing allocative efficiency and securing competition and the gains from it. But the story is about more than just that. It's also about how to secure more dynamic effects, how to increase the resources to be deployed into economic activities of various kinds, how to foster the conditions under which innovation and genuine risk-taking by entrepreneurial businesses increases. Not financial risk-taking, of which we have plenty and arguably too much in the world, but genuine entrepreneurial risk-taking and innovation. In that regard, how to minimise the adverse effects on work effort, on enterprise, capital accumulation and innovation, be they due to tax or other factors, that's the worthwhile question to address. We have to accept as a condition as you do that, that there is an amount of revenue that governments need to raise to fund the provision of services that only governments can provide. That's a condition. We have to raise some revenue. But minimising the adverse effects of that means a larger economy, more income, ultimately more revenue, and so on. In parallel, and I realise this is sensitive, but there's no avoiding it, the need to have the right labour market arrangements. The question is how to have suitable rules which do deliver basic fairness, but which have the minimum adverse effects on enterprise, employment, and the scope for free agents to come together in ways that mutually suit them and that grow the economy. Whether we have that balance right is not for me to say, but it is something that you might want to address. As others have said, growth's important. For a while now, there hasn't been enough growth. There's been growth, and more growth than many countries. We have a pretty good record there, but not quite enough. Not as much as we really ought to be capable of. Growth rates have mostly started with a 2 for a while now. And that's despite the lowest interest rates in any of our lifetimes, banks able and willing and competing to lend, and measures of consumer and business confidence, which actually, when you look at the surveys, are about average, despite the gloom that we sometimes read in the papers. So this low growth might just be a feature of the post-financial crisis world, balance sheet repair and so on. It might be about changing demographics. It might be that potential growth is a bit lower than we used to think, though I still think, actually, we can't know one way or the other just yet whether that's so. But whatever it is that is responsible for growth in the twos for a while, we are unavoidably and inexorably being led to the question, how do we get more growth? The fiscal policy debate, usually framed as when do we get back to surplus, is actually about how do we get more growth. Other discussions we often have, usually now framed so often around fairness, well, that is income distribution, might be better framed as how do we grow the pie. That isn't because distribution doesn't matter. It's because distributional questions get easier to deal with growth and much, much harder in the absence of growth. Reasonable people get that. Reasonable people get that the kind of growth we want won't be delivered just by central banks manipulating interest rates or fiscal initiatives of a short-term nature that bring forward demand from next year only to have to give it back then. They're looking for something more sustainable. They want to see more genuine dynamism in the economy and more confidence about their own future income. So in your discussions, I want to emphasise that it's about growth. The word reform is a word which excites the intellectual elites, including those among them who think they have something to lose by having reform. But I don't know whether the word reform excites the general public quite so much. The thing that they do get, though, is a conversation about growth. Growth in income, growth in jobs, growth in wealth and prosperity. That will resonate, and that's why I think your discussion today really should be about growth. How do we get more of it? Not flash in the pan temporary growth, but sustainable growth. How do we craft, how do you craft a credible, confidence-enhancing narrative about growth? That's actually what reform's about. It's about making things work better for higher incomes and well-being. And if there are some things of substance, of a concrete nature, that you could agree on by the end of the day, beyond general statements of agreement, that would be a step forward. Present here in the room, you have the intellectual resources. You have the stakeholders. You have the leadership. And you have the communication channels. In short, you have the ingredients. Over to you.